Welcome to another episode of Jason Rants, The Leftovers. This is where we continue to talk after the show. It's the show after the show. And there were a whole lot of stories I did not get an opportunity to talk about today, in large part because of the Ronna McDaniel breaking news. Weren't actually expecting that, and I wasn't expecting to talk with Officer Kevin Beretta today. And so I'm glad, obviously, that we got the opportunity, but that meant that some of the stories on the show sheet, unfortunately, ended up being ignored, and I'm pulling up some of them now. There was, and this is not a serious story, but I don't understand Costco. I don't understand the culture around the food court. It just does not make sense to me. They're just hot dogs. They're not better than anywhere else. And if I'm being totally honest, I would argue that 7-Eleven hot dogs are quite tasty. They're at least just as tasty and maybe not as cheap, but almost. They're comparable in price. I'm pretty sure I haven't had a hot dog from 7-Eleven in a while, but I remember liking them. But CBS News is reporting that Costco is moving to ensure that only members of Costco are going into the food court and ordering the food because it's become such a weird, almost cult-like thing. People were sort of sneaking in to Costco. They didn't have a membership. They weren't paying for a membership, and so they went just to get the hot dogs because they do check your card when you purchase something at the store. They check it at checkout, but they didn't do that at the food court, but now they're going to do it. According to a bunch of people who started to post on Reddit signs at their various Costco locations saying that they're actually starting to check cards. It says effective April 8th, an active Costco membership card will be required to purchase items from our food court. You can join today. Please see our membership counter. That's according to one sign out of Orlando, Florida. I haven't seen any indication that they're doing it here, but I imagine they are. I imagine that this is going to happen across the board. They say the move is the latest effort made by the wholesaler to enforce its membership requirements so that people who wish to shop at the store actually pay up for the privilege. In January, Costco started rolling out new technology requiring members to scan their cards at some store entrances in an effort to crack down on membership sharing and non-member walk-ins. They say presumably the more restrictive stance is designed to entice more people to purchase memberships. If you purchase a membership just for the hot dogs, what does that say about you? I'm not going to answer that question, but I am going to think about it, and it's very, very judgy. They say membership fees accounted for $4.6 billion, or 73% of their total profit. You know, I imagine they're not taking a massive hit when they sell you a hot dog for $1.50 or however much it is. But they're obviously not making that much of a profit. It's going to be relatively small. And they do it to entice people to go and almost make an afternoon out of a Costco shopping experience, right? I mean, that's part of the deal. And it's very similar to IKEA, right? I mean, when you go to an IKEA, it's so large and you're walking around, you might end up getting an appetite, I guess. And so you end up shopping and then maybe taking some time to eat their Swedish meatballs or whatever other garbage that they're serving. I've never actually eaten there, but I've seen people eat there. And again, I'm not going to say it out loud, but I was judging them silently. And they probably could tell by the way I was looking at them, somewhat in disgust, but also curious. So the reason why they do this, it's a little bit more of a perk. But it's only worth it if they're getting membership fees out of all of this. I mean, you know, they're paying for the workers to cook the food and whatnot, and they actually have to staff it and clean it, and they, you know, they do what you would normally do in any kind of fast food joint for the most part. So they want to make sure that they're doing this for a purpose. And the only thing they care about at Costco, as far as their bottom line, it's not dumb hot dogs, not even a little bit. It's all about serving you membership. That's all they want to pay because that's what you're paying for. So, you know, probably a smart business move. But back to my original point, I don't understand why people are so in love with these hot dogs. And maybe part of it is that I'm just jealous that someone else is part of a bigger movement that apparently brings them joy, some level of excitement. And I just don't have that in my life. I just don't have it. Meanwhile, Sacramento, California, They're going to vote on a resolution later tonight. Again, I'm recording this a little after 6 on Tuesday. They say a resolution tonight. I don't know how long it's going to go. They might have already done it. I just missed it. But they say they're going to vote on this resolution to declare Sacramento a sanctuary city for trans people. Really, this is a sanctuary city for trans kids. The Democrat Socialist Organization that's out there, the biggest one, they love it. And so naturally, the Sacramento City Council is going to implement this. It was spearheaded by a council member named Katie Valenzuela. It would protect medical professionals who perform gender transition surgeries on children from, quote, any attempts to impose criminal punishment. Now, part of the reason why they do this is not just to protect the doctor or the quote-unquote healthcare provider, but it's really to entice people to come to the area. And when it comes to kids, they know it. They know, just like here in Washington State, they're trying to entice kids who they believe are trans to run away from home if they're not getting the so-called gender-affirming care that they believe they deserve, that they should have, because maybe parents are standing in the way or just simply asking some questions. And maybe their doctor, the family physician, is like, well, no, I'm not going to rush into chopping off your breasts. Sorry, you're 14 years old. We're not going to do that. But we'll have conversations about this. I'll continue to care for you, and we'll talk through all of this. Maybe I'll make recommendations on someone you could talk to from a mental health perspective. But no, we're not going to just dive in to surgeries. I'm not going to give you puberty blockers because they could be potentially dangerous. And the workaround for that is, hey, don't worry, run away from home. We'll put you up in a family household, or like a host home. They'll take care of you. We won't tell your parents where you are, and we'll get you the gender-affirming care that you truly deserve, young 14-year-old. You don't have to have consent from your parents, and we will go ahead and pick the doctor out for you, knowing that the doctor will go ahead for the most part and just perform the way you want them to. It's dangerous. When you're 14, when you're really into your mid-20s, how often did you change your mind about significant parts of your life? Right? I mean, and for the most part, generally speaking, it doesn't have as big of a negative impact on you than, say, chopping off your breasts for top surgery, as it would be if you changed your major or you decided, I don't want to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a talk show host instead. Like, that could be positive or negative, but it's not going to be as negative as prematurely going through major surgeries. And I remember when there were a whole bunch of healthcare professionals, quote unquote, who went out of their way to say, oh, it's all a lie that's been propagated by the right that we're performing surgeries on children. That just does not happen. Now, we know that that's a lie. We know that that's a lie. But they were telling us that anyway. And frankly, my response to that lie is the same way I respond to the folks who say, no one in the Democrat Party is promoting third trimester abortions. No one actually wants that. And it's never happening. It almost never happens, except in the cases of a mother's life. So my response, it's like, okay, well, then why are you standing in the way of legislation that would stop something that you say is not happening and would never happen? What's the point? We'll put the caveat in there for people who need this in order for them to stay alive. Okay, we'll give you that exemption. But everything else, just say elective abortion or elective surgery on a minor is banned. Why would you get in the way with that if it is not happening? That's how you call their bluff. And it works every single time. Because we know that they're lying. We've heard from doctors who didn't know they were being recorded acknowledging that. And some doctors are just being honest about it. They're being honest and just saying, yeah, okay, yeah, fine. We do it. I don't do it a ton, but yeah, I've done it. Okay, well, I don't want you to do it at all. Now, when it comes to kids, if you're an adult and you want to go through any kind of surgery like that, okay, have at it. You're an adult. You get to do what you want, I guess, as long as you're not hurting anybody else. I prefer you not hurt yourself. But at least you can't argue that as an adult, the person hasn't come to terms with whatever the reality is around their gender identity or what they think their gender identity is, or in many cases, again, because I do suspect that some of the kids that they're calling trans might just be gay or lesbian or bisexual, whatever it is. It doesn't mean that they're a different gender. They might say that they are because that's what you want them to say. There's like this weird subset. There we go. I speak words good. There's a subset of educators in particular who want to have a transgender student in their classroom. They like it. It says a lot about them, so they can go online and talk about how supportive they've been. Because they're all heroes, of course. But frankly, it's creepy for starters. It's like it's absolutely creepy. But beyond that, it's just dangerous. Seriously, it is just dangerous for these kids. And it will get awfully confusing for some 12-year-old, 13-year-old, all the way up until they're a little bit older. When you start pushing all this gender identity stuff in front of them prematurely. So I imagine this is going to pass. If it does, we'll obviously have an update for you. Meanwhile, something happened today on The View. I was going to talk about it on air. I haven't decided yet to punish my new producer by having him watch The View and pull clips for me. I used to do that when I was especially in a bad mood. I would give it to my former producer, especially Peyton, because Peyton hated it, which actually made me love telling him he had to pull clips from The View. He hates that show. Everyone who has a brain hates that show. And even people like Peyton who don't have a brain hate that show. But something happened today that just didn't make any sense. Apparently, and this was during their show, someone who was in the audience was recording The View on their phone. Now, I don't know why that's a big deal or what these folks think they might catch, but Whoopi Goldberg got pretty upset and she ended up approaching this guy in the middle of the show.
Sir,
what's that?
I have to stop you with the camera because I can see you. So do me a favor, don't pull it out again. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
She got up and she walked towards him.
What was he doing?
Like no one knows. Do we clap?
So as I was saying, I think this.
Shut up, Sonny. I'm kidding. Why? Am I missing something? Why is that a big deal? It's in the middle of the show. You do realize that there are cameras on you in that moment, right? Whoopi, you're being literally recorded and it's going out live on television. Now, they apparently have strict rules for audience members. It covers everything from what they wear to how they conduct themselves, according to the Daily Caller. Live members are reportedly required to wear bright and trendy colors, including low-cut necklines, sleeveless tops and shorts, according to The Sun. Members also must be escorted to the bathroom, and their phones must be completely shut off and put away. But it's a live show, isn't it? Because I guess I can understand if it wasn't live, and maybe it's not live, and I just assumed it was, that, you might edit something out that you don't want to get broadcast, including maybe bad language, and it would be a bad look. I don't know. And so you just have everyone turn off their phones because you can make that edit post-production. But that's the only thing I can think of. What do you care? I know why you might be able to put the phone away. Like, I get that part. Totally get that part. Because you don't want to have any noise. But she wasn't mad because the phone was on. She was mad because he was filming. And they often, I shouldn't say often, but they do seem to say that it's on you to behave the way they want. And so sometimes they'll scold people. We played the audio, I think on Monday? No, last week, where Joy Behar was telling everyone to applaud for Christine Blasey Ford and the false accusation against Brett Kavanaugh. She wanted them to clap and they didn't clap. Other than that, it's a wonderful show and nothing they do bothers me in the least. Which is why I want to bring to you one more clip from The View that we were going to get to on the show. But it was only one quick clip and I didn't force Jackson, my new producer, to watch the whole thing. And it's of Sonny Hostin, who I lovingly refer to as TV's dumbest lawyer, actually making a good point. She actually told a truth. And it has to do with Donald Trump and the judge's decision yesterday to lower the bond from almost $500 million to 150 or 60 and change million.
The lowering of the bond was very appropriate, right? We always say that we want everyone to be treated across the legal spectrum in the same way.
She doesn't want that.
And that we
Trump,
want the
though,
law
really.
To apply equally in the yeah. same way. Bonds are not supposed to be punitive. They are only supposed to make sure that the person returns to court and answers, you know, whatever charges have been mm-hmm. alleged. Mm-hmm. He does have a valid appeal, as far as I can tell. It mm-hmm. seems like he has a valid basis to appeal. Mm-hmm. And so what this judge said is, I'm going to take $175 million mm-hmm. instead of over $400 million mm-hmm. so that you can continue your appeal, so that you can continue living your life and doing your business.
So she's obviously correct on this. And I would argue, because she says, you know, Donald Trump actually has a valid appeal. She's even smart enough to know not to put your eggs in this basket. You might have a better shot at the documents, the classified documents case, although it shouldn't be taken seriously. They didn't do that for Biden, whatever. But this is a very clearly incorrect legal ruling, and it will be appealed fully, and they will end up winning. So she doesn't want to put some of her, what's left of her credibility, on the line for this. Same goes for the Alvin Bragg decision that he was going to charge, I can't remember, 30-something counts, I believe, for the hush money case, covering up the way that it was paid as if anyone cares and as if that's even really a true crime, because they were leaning on a super old law that never gets used to try to go after Donald Trump. And it was at the point where the federal government twice declined to prosecute on those charges because there was no evidence that Donald Trump knew what was going on, that this was just, I think it was Michael Cohen at the time, who was covering up for him. And if you think he knew, it's just based on your preconceived notions of him. There's no actual proof. There's no smoking gun, certainly. Now, maybe that's changed during this investigation. I doubt it. But that's also just another completely frivolous case. It's going to move forward in a couple weeks. And there has been today a gag order that was placed on Donald Trump so he doesn't say anything that could be perceived as threatening or intimidating towards members of the jury. I question whether or not some of the gag order might go too far, because he even says in the order, the judge says that the gag order means Trump cannot comment on potential or prospective jurors. And if I'm reading that correctly, that means he wouldn't be able to go out and say, it's impossible to get a jury to treat me fairly in New York because it is so far to the left, which is true. That is just a truth. Now, I would argue that that is political speech in the context that he's running for president, and he could very clearly articulate that a guilty verdict could hurt his presidential campaign. And you're now telling him that he can't engage in speech to point out that the jury probably is going to find him guilty because they're crooked, because they're uber leftists. To me, that actually goes a little bit too far. I get the whole don't threaten anyone because you don't want to get into witness intimidation or tampering. Like, I get that. Not that I think he was doing that, but he can obviously be mean. And, if you want to protect the system that way, that's not something I'm going to die on a hill to protect. But this idea that you can't even talk about in a general sense to the jury, that goes too far and has political implications to me. And I hope they appeal that decision, but I don't think that they will. We'll see how this ends up going. Thank you so much for tuning in.